I said during the children's message, it's beginning to feel a lot like summer. And it's not just the temperature and the humidity that I'm talking about. If we're not careful, summer can become this time marked by the mundane. Now, see if any of this rings true with your experience. See, we all have days, I think, where it seems like we're just marking time. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but in the military, when you're marching, but you don't want to go anywhere, you mark time. You just march in one place. And it's a lot of energy expended without moving forward. And sometimes our days can seem like that, where we don't have anything that resembles forward progress. Days when we're stuck in the same old rut. Days when we wake up to the alarm clock and we push snooze once, and then we push snooze twice, and well, we might as well go ahead and push it a third time, because it's not that we're tired, it's that we know when we open our eyes that today is going to be pretty much like yesterday, which was pretty much like the day before yesterday. And so, well, our routines can seem rather routine. And we just get in this funk. Even as people of faith, we can find ourselves bogged down in the repetitiveness of the everyday tasks that we have to accomplish. And as we set out about to do the mission and ministry that God calls each of us to in the world, we sometimes get dragged down by the mundane, these laborious tasks of everyday life. And I was searching for a way to illustrate that for us this morning, and I came across an article that my daughter Brittany had written. I've talked about her before, but just to refresh your memory, Brittany and her husband Dane are missionaries, and they recently got back from a 2.5-year stint in Nepal, and now they're down in the Rio Grande Valley, and there's a lot of similarities, believe it or not, between ministry in Nepal and ministry down in the valley. A lot of hardship, a lot of poverty, and in the midst of all that, she wrote this article that talks about the mundane everydays of our life. I'll just read a few excerpts and offer some thoughts about it because I think it can speak to us this morning. She says, "We all have seasons that the Lord allows us to go through that are not necessarily difficult, but maybe fail to reflect our ideal ministry." Did you know that you were a minister? You are a minister of the faith to this community. And as a minister, when we're in ministry, we like it to be exciting. Don't you like it when things are exciting as opposed to just kind of routine? Brittany says, we want excitement. We want to feel busy and useful and needed, but sometimes the work that needs to be done, the work that God calls us to, is anything but exciting. Sometimes we struggle to find out how we fit in. How am I relevant in this place? How am I relevant in this ministry? How am I relevant in my circumstances? What is my purpose? Now, it occurs to me that we have to be grateful that we serve a God who gives us the freedom to ask those kinds of questions. God is a great big God, and He doesn't have any problem with us saying, God, why do you have me here? What is my purpose in this community? I ask that question because I want to be fresh in my ministry here. I don't ever want to be stagnant and stale in my ministry here. I want to be constantly doing things for the kingdom. And that's my prayer for you also, that you would always want to be in motion for the kingdom. Now, when we ask these kinds of questions of God, very often His response is just to direct our thoughts back to Him. Now, that's not God avoiding the question. That's not God saying, I don't want to answer that for you. That's God saying, I am the answer to your question. He redirects our hearts and our minds to focus simply on who he is. And when we do that, we realize we can trust him. We can trust his purpose. We can trust his purpose in our lives. And we know that we can trust him to direct our paths as we go out from these walls and be ministers of the faith. So Brittany makes a good point here, I think. When we begin to question our relevance, our purpose, the effectiveness of our mission, God inevitably, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, directs our thoughts back to him through prayer and worship. And when we focus on who he is, it relieves us of the burden, shifting it from our weak shoulders to his more capable ones. Why? Because we know that he's trustworthy. We know he's promised that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so Brittany goes on. She says, I think we all have similar seasons, just different variables. What I feel, she says, and wrestle with in this season of motherhood, she's a young mom. She's got three beautiful children, my grandchildren. But she struggles because she's had to focus attention that she used to spend on ministry, which is very exciting for her, to being a mom. Now, trust me, being a mom, I'm sure, has its moments of excitement. But it also has a lot of routine stuff. You can get bogged down in the mundane of the everyday. Moms, am I right? Is that correct? I see some nod. Yeah. So what she feels about her season is what some of us might feel about our jobs. Because let's face it, being a mom is a full-time job. What some other people might feel about school. What some other people might feel about going to college. And we tend to get, especially in the summertime, these ideas that the roads that we're on are unglamorous. She calls them in her article, unglamorous roads through the mundane and tedious everydays. Unglamorous roads, mundane and tedious everydays. Do we experience those days in ministry? Sure we do. There are seasons of spiritual dryness. I don't know if you've ever studied old church history, and I mean old church history, but there was a man by the name of John of the Cross. Whenever they just use your first name and then of the cross, it's a pretty serious theologian. And so a lot of his work we study and we look at because he touched on these mundane everydays. He says, there are days wherein we feel isolated and untouched by the divine hand of God. These he called the dark night of the soul. Now, that's pretty heavy stuff, the dark night of the soul. But when you think about it, there are times when you just wonder, where is God in all of this? Where is God in my calling? Is my calling actually from God? I'm not talking about me personally. I'm just speaking in general about all Christians as ministers of the faith. Sometimes we wonder, are we having an impact for the kingdom? Brittany writes, I think a lot of times we allow ourselves to become disappointed with the work we're doing. Maybe it's because the newness of it has long worn off and we've been doing the same thing for so long that we have lost our excitement for it. We look at adventures other people are having in some foreign and exciting place, and our little bubble of ministry looks kind of blah. And she uses the word that I've come to appreciate from my kids, lame. Our ministry looks lame in comparison. Because we aren't doing the big work, we begin to feel as though our work is somehow insignificant and small, or sometimes we fail to see that we're really doing any work at all. Have you felt like that? you look outside of the community that you serve as ministers of the faith, and you see other people doing other things. This is why churches engage in foreign mission trips. Now, I have to be careful as I say this. There's nothing wrong with foreign mission trips. There's nothing wrong with expending resources to go other places and dig water wells and do things for people in other places. But I would submit to you that there is plenty of mission work right here in our own community that is just as important, just as vital for the kingdom, just as capable of bringing the gospel to people as getting on an airplane and traveling to some far-off land. Sometimes we look at what other people are doing, Brittany says, and we say, wow, they're doing such big things for the kingdom. And it's true, but we have to remind ourselves, she says, that not all the things that we're called to are for others. Some things we walk through are meant specifically for us and for our community of faith. So whether it's a season of waiting, a season of transition, working a 9-to-5 job, going to classes every day, a season of maybe I just don't know what to do with my life, or like Brittany in this particular article, she talks about having to step back from ministry, adjust how much she can be involved because she has small children, and realize that no matter where you are in your ministry and in your life, how you have to spend your time, realize that God does not waste our time or our circumstances ever. That's a good sentence. Let me read that again. God does not waste our time or our circumstances ever. Because in waiting, we learn patience and trust. If we have to raise money in order to be able to do something, in the raising of the money, we better understand God's timing and His provision. In times of hardship, we learn our weaknesses and we see God's strength. In times of stress, we see what's truly in our own hearts and we get to deal with it. In times of mourning, we get to receive God's comfort. Now there are times, I'll just cut in here. There are times when we get impatient in these mundane everydays and we make our own plans just to make us feel relevant and useful. And they might come from good intentions. They might be good works that we want to do, but sometimes if we're not prayerful and careful, they can get in the way of what God is already doing in the world. And so we have to be mindful of that. We have to not go out ahead of God. We have to wait and listen and pray and not try to assert ourselves into the seat of God's authority. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. See, I think we do that because we like to be in control and we don't wait very well. All too often we can't see the forest for the trees. In other words, we concern ourselves so much with the details that we don't see the bigger purpose that God has. Coming back to Brittany's article, she says, I felt lonely, disconnected, bored, unfulfilled, and lacking purpose. And then I remembered that not even a year ago, I was praying and asking the Lord for a season of rest. Well, duh. What happens when you ask the Lord for a season of rest and He gives it to you, and then you start to worry why you're not moving, why you're not involved deeply in ministry, why you're on a sabbatical. Well, it's because the Lord, who is gracious and loving, gives you the season that you need during your ministry. Isn't that the way we are, though? We're in the thick of it. We're burning the candle at both ends. We're working overtime. We're going and doing. We're doing and going to the point where we pray for rest, and then suddenly we have these periods of the mundane, tedious everydays where nothing seems to be happening, and instead of looking to God and thanking Him for the time of rest and reflection, we allow ourselves to slip into this funk, this depression, this season of, where are you, God? What's the point of all this? Well, I'm here to tell you that there are times just ahead where we will long for mundane, tedious everydays. That's true for all of us as Christians. You're going to be involved in ministry to the point to where it will begin to be overwhelming. There will be souls depending on you to know the truth about Jesus. People will look to you for guidance and sustenance in the world as it spirals into chaos. This is biblical. I'm not spouting any kind of end times mumbo jumbo here. I'm simply telling you, if you turn on your television today and turn it to the news, you will see that there are things in play in the world that are not of God. This is simply the product of a fallen and broken world in which we live. And so we will be busy as prayer warriors and priests and ministers of the faith. We will get up each morning not by the sound of the alarm clock, but by the urging of the Holy Spirit telling us to get moving as witnesses to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. There'll be no time to waste. There'll be no time to rest until He takes us home or He returns, whichever happens first. And that's just the reality of the world in which we live. And don't think for a moment that this little congregation in Shepherd will be passed over and allowed to recline here in the sanctuary while the world spins by outside these walls. This congregation is and will continue to be a mighty force for God in this community and will rise to the purpose for which it has been ordained by Him to make disciples, to know Christ, and to make Christ known. Don't you doubt it for a second. Because you see, these unglamorous roads, these tedious, mundane everydays, those are the paths that God placed before us to take His creation home. In the epistle from Revelation that Sherry read, verses 1 through 6 in chapter 21, it talks about the new Jerusalem that's coming. If we can expand on that just a little bit in these final moments of the service this morning, if you were to look at verse 10, it says, "And in the Spirit He carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." If we skip a little further in that passage to verse 22, it says, "I saw no temple in the city." Let me change that to plain English. "I saw no church in the city. For the church is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, we have a mission. Our mission as the church is to get as many names into that book of life as possible before Jesus Christ comes again. And so these mundane, tedious everydays, they're about to give way to some pretty troubled and chaotic times. And we have to be ready. But it's not out of fear or trepidation. I want you to understand that end times theology is not about fear and trepidation. Because if we're ready, the prize at the end of it all, the glory that we are promised, if we're steadfast through these mundane present everydays and through the troubled times ahead, the prize is magnificent. The new Jerusalem promised in Revelation is the recreation of creation, where you get to experience life in a glorified body. In order to reach that, we have to be ready. How do we get ready? Well, it's difficult, but it's also easier than you think. We prepare ourselves by arming ourselves with the Word of God. Where do we get that? Do we get it in a 20-minute sermon in church? Well, partially. Where do you get to understand and learn and dig deeper into the Word so that you're prepared for whatever comes next? Well, you come to Bible study on Tuesday nights here in this church at 6 o'clock. And you experience fellowship with Christians, talking about, dialoguing about, getting deeper into the Word of God. You learn and discuss, and you learn and discuss until you yourself are a mighty force of truth and knowledge ready to lead people into the community of God. Truth and knowledge and relationship with Christ, that's how you get ready. There's a glimpse into heaven in Revelation 22. It says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." With that in mind, as a destination, what about all of these unglamorous, mundane everydays, these unglamorous roads of the here and now? 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, "Let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned him and to which God has called him." Proverbs 16, verses 3 and 4 say, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, and even the wicked for the day of trouble." Lead the life the Lord assigned you. In other words, don't concern yourself with the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. Be faithful with the grass that God has given you today. And then commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Brittany says in her article, I picture our lives like this. When we look back at our lives as a great landscape, we will see mountains and we will see valleys. But more than anything else, we will see miles and miles of flat, winding roads connecting all the peaks and the valleys. And they seem insignificant until we realize that without the roads, you would never have reached the peaks, and you would never have made it out of the valleys. And so she closes with, let's rejoice and be grateful for the sanctifying work of walking out our unglamorous roads. See, the unglamorous roads lead to the road with the river of the water of life flowing down the middle. The tree of life on either side, its leaves, red leaves, stained with the crimson blood of the Lamb for the healing of the nations. We can be on that journey. We can be on that road. We can see this glorious New Jerusalem that God has for us. And we can bring as many people with us as will listen to the message that we bring. The key is we have to bring the message. And that is your role as a minister of the faith, as a member of the royal priesthood of God. That is why you are here. Do you receive that this morning? Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.